ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
What is going on, everybody? Joe Torti here with you. 97.5 The Fanatic. Hot on the heels of Tyrone Johnson, Natalie Eganoff, Andrew Sauchun is doing a great job filling in for Mike Missanelli. I am taking you into Sixers basketball. Sixers taking on the Clippers at 7 o'clock. And we are going to be bringing you all the action right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So, the conversation continues. And I always... Here's the thing. I think the word nuance is way overused in 2018, as if there's not anything that can possibly just be a one thing or the other issue, a right or wrong, whatever, right? However, I have to say, with this Ben Simmons thing, this is honestly, seriously getting out of hand, okay? There are seemingly two groups of people in Philadelphia that have been dominating the airwaves, social media, and everything else with respect to Ben Simmons. Team A is the team that has been around the longest, right? It's that Ben Simmons will be fine. He's a transcendent talent. He impacts the game in so many ways. No disagreement from anybody yet, right? And then there is, he's going to be fine. He's going to develop a jump shot. And that triggers group B to activate, where they talk about, okay, well, he should trade Ben Simmons because he hasn't developed the jump shot, he doesn't work on his game, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then the argument goes back and forth. LeBron James didn't shoot well when he came into the league. Jason Kidd didn't shoot well when he came into the league. This guy didn't shoot well when he came into the league. That guy didn't shoot well when he came into the league. On and on and over and over and over. And it nothing ever gets anywhere. And I feel like everyone who is on either side of that argument is missing something fundamental. So let me explain to you my position. Position C, let's say. LeBron James, Jason Kidd, Tony Parker, Rajon Rondo, everybody who you would say isn't or wasn't a jump shooter when they came into the league. These are the guys to whom Ben Simmons has been compared, right? And they point and they say, oh, Jason Kidd turned into a serviceable shooter. LeBron James turned into a serviceable shooter. Those comparisons are garbage. They're steaming hot garbage, and they have no relation to what's going on right now. Why? Because those guys came into the league and shot threes. They were bad at them, and they missed a ton of them, but they shot them. The difference with Ben Simmons is that he is not a guy who considers shooting three-point shots. Hearing Tyrone talk about his game, hearing Andrew Sauchunas talk about his game, we're not NBA-level players, not getting paid millions and millions of dollars. But I talked about this earlier this week, that you are probably, and if you're Ben Simmons, think about his history, and it's not an excuse that he's never been a jump shooter, but just consider this, right? He was probably the same player in high school as he ended up being in college, as he is in the NBA. You're getting better, right? You're getting better rebounding. You're getting better defending. You're getting bigger, stronger, faster. Maybe your instincts are better, whatever. But you're not grafting on completely new elements to your game. There's not going to be an area where Ben Simmons is like, okay, now it's time. I'm not watching him consciously pass up jump shots. I'm watching him go into his normal stuff, attack the rim, pass the ball, whatever. That's how he plays basketball. That's how he processes the information that's in front of him. That's who he is. And I heard the famous Boston thing that people say about Ben Simmons, enjoy Big Rondo. And as Tyrone Johnson pointed out earlier today, I've never understood why that was an insult. I was like, wasn't Rajon Rondo like unbelievably good without shooting the ball? I just don't know why you have to take that next step. Oh, imagine how good he's going to be when he starts to shoot the ball. Hold on, what? I don't know that that matters, to be honest with you. So the question becomes, well, Joe, if that's going to be the case, then you can't have a point guard who doesn't shoot threes and Markelle Fultz not shooting threes. I agree with you. Here's the thing. I am not on the trade Ben Simmons crowd. I think that that's ridiculous. But I also think that it's ridiculous that out of nowhere, he's going to add this completely new component to his approach to the game. Forget him improving. Oh, once he develops a jump shot, his jump shot might be good for all we know. It's not a part of his game. It's not what he does. In terms of the intensity, by the way, with Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz versus TJ McConnell, Ty had a good comparison to driving the car. I think of this guy. We've all been to the gym, or a lot of us have been. And you see the guy who's looking in the mirror, and he's all sweaty, and he's grunting, and he's pulling. That dude is not doing any more work than the dude who's next to him, cold-faced, focusing on every contraction, making the mind-muscle connection and doing everything. You don't need to be listening to headphones for intensity. You don't need to be grimacing. You don't need to be sweating. You don't need to be doing any of that to be doing the same amount of work as the next guy. Tracy McGrady came in. You never got the impression that Tracy McGrady was going to bite your head off. And then he just coolly, calmly, casually gave you 38, 9, and 7. I don't need to see the intensity. What I need to do is see how it works. For everyone who is in the Ben Simmons is going to develop a jump shot crowd, and that's going to be a part of his game, I think that's ridiculous. I can't think of a time. Like, you look at LeBron James adding stuff to his game. He's adding low post moves and stuff like that. Okay, but he was a guy who went down in the low post in the past and was bad at it and added stuff. Same thing with Michael Jordan. Same thing with Kobe Bryant, right? This is adding a completely new thing to Ben Simmons' game. However, I don't think that his lack, well, I'm not going to say his lack of ability, because who knows? I just don't see it happening. I don't think that that's a fatal flaw, though. I don't think that that leads you down the road to trade Ben Simmons. I think that's equally ridiculous. No, I give Ben Simmons enough credit that I think that you could utilize him in a way to maximize some other players on your roster to ultimately make your team better. And of course, I'm talking about Markelle Fultz. Markelle Fultz is a guy who looks completely different when he's on the ball running the point than when he's off the ball. Looks completely different. I would say that Ben Simmons is good enough that he doesn't need to be the point guard for you to win. If you have Markelle Fultz play the point guard, you have Ben Simmons play the four, and then you can bring a shooter in at the two like J.J. Redick, you have the ability to maximize what your team can potentially do. You just have to ask yourself, what's the most important thing? If you're saying, oh, Ben Simmons needs to be the point guard, you're not giving him enough credit. The comparison I made earlier this week is that's like having a queen on the chessboard and only moving the queen one or two spaces at a time. Why? You've got the queen. It's the most powerful piece. You can use the queen however you want. The only thing that the queen can't do is move in the L. The only thing that Ben Simmons doesn't do is have the outside shot. So why in the world is that the most important thing? We're going to take your phone call, 610-632-0975. I want to get into this because I think that moving Ben Simmons off of the point guard position, unless you're all about Ben Simmons getting triple-doubles, then maybe it doesn't work. But if you're into the Sixers advancing and getting better and becoming more difficult to defend, it's an avenue that we have to explore. It's the Joe Torty Show, taking you up until Sixers basketball on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sixers, Clippers, tonight at 7 on your home for 76ers basketball. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Fast is the nation's largest gig speed network. Beyond Fast is the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup. Switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal. Get fast, reliable internet and add TV and voice for only $34.90 more per month. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond Fast.
Offer ends 12/21/18. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited one voice line and basic TV on one outlet. Requires Comcast Business Internet at additional monthly charge. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours.
I'm a real person. Real voice and a real face. Even though you can't see it because, you know, radio invisibility. You know what else is super duper real? Geico Local Offices. A Geico local agent could tailor fit a policy to you, which could save you hundreds on your car insurance. All because Geico local agents keep it real, with real savings and real service. Really?
And there's more. A Geico local agent could help you with more than just auto policies, like motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance. Stop by or give them a call today.
Washing my nose, oh yeah.
I'm a shower curtain, and I do one thing. Keep water from leaking everywhere. So you see why I feel useless compared to Geico, who does so much more. Like, not only could Geico save you money, but they've been around for over 75 years. And they give you 24/7 access online, over the phone, or on the Geico app. And they've got a 97% customer satisfaction rating. They do all this while I have to listen to this chucklehead. Oh, good, he stopped.
Washing my toes!
Oh, great, an encore.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Attention, landlords and property owners. Are you tired of managing your property and would like someone else to manage it for you? You probably would like to own your property, but are tired of the headaches that come with it. You just can't keep up with the maintenance and leasing. Bay Management Group is a local, full-service property management company handling single-family and multifamily properties in the Philadelphia area. They're on-call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They offer full leasing services, including tenant screening with a one-year tenant warranty, move-in and move-out reports, maintenance, rent collection, eviction services, routine inspections, plus monthly and annual financial statements. You could move to Antarctica with confidence that your property is in great hands. Call Bay Management Group today to learn more or visit baymanagementgroup.com. That's baymgmtgroup.com. Bay Management Group. Your premier management company.
It's too cold. Is the heater on?
Seems fine to me.
Relationships can be tricky.
Now it's too hot.
I adjusted the thermostat.
But there's one thing everyone can agree on. Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning.
I like them.
Me too.
Because couples know their local Bryant dealer will do whatever it takes to make sure everyone is comfortable, including great financing offers up to 72 months subject to credit approval. To find a Pierce Phelps Bryant dealer near you, visit nopaybryant.com.
Bryant.
Whatever it takes.
Do you have a large group of friends that want to watch sports this weekend? The Birds are on a bye. Game on this Saturday, Penn State, Michigan, and a host of other NFL games on Sunday. Philadelphia's newest sports bar, Stats on 17th, has a VIP lounge where bottle service meets sports. Stats on 17th is the perfect place for a group of friends to have a sports party with comfy leather couches, 30 huge screens, great food, reasonable prices, and hot waitresses. Call to reserve your big game party. Stats on 17th. That's 111 South 17th Street, below Davio's. Stats on 17.com.
This injury report is brought to you by Swartz Colleton. Get the money you deserve.
Verge right tackle Lane Johnson suffered a grade 2 sprain of the medial collateral ligament in his knee on the opening series against Jacksonville and could be sidelined for about a month. The injury occurred on the sequence in which Carson Wentz was strip sacked early in the first quarter. Johnson stayed on the ground for several minutes before walking off under his own power. He was evaluated briefly on the trainer's table and then was carted into the locker room.
I'm riled up. Will our Birds play to their potential and look like the championship-caliber team we expected? These next couple weeks will show their true colors. Homeowners, winter will be here soon. Make sure your heater is working to its potential with a proper ventilation system from Southwark Ductwork. Riley Sales is the place HVAC pros go to get their Southwark metal. The air flows right when the system is tight. Go to RileySales.com. R-I-L-E-Y sales.com. We'll recommend a pro that will get the job done right.
Find out where the Dietz & Watson Mobile Broadcast Center will be broadcasting from next. Just visit 975thefanatic.com. Dietz & Watson, the official meats and cheeses of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia's football station. 975 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, leading you into Sixers-Clippers, talking Sixers, talking Ben Simmons. Let's get right to the phone, 610-632-0975. Pat Egan is behind the glass producing. Let's go to Dean in Mount Airy to lead things off. Dean, what's going on, man?
What's up, Joe? How you been, man?
Been great. How about you?
Yeah, a couple things been getting on my nerves. A lot of guys have been calling that they probably even played a good AAU game or no Division II basketball, not even Division I. But they want to pick out professional skills and what should be critiqued. You know what I mean? Ben Simmons is a good player. You know me.
Hold on, Dean. Before I let you go, because I'm going to give you plenty of time. Are you saying the only people that should be able to have basketball opinions are NBA players or D1 players?
No. I'm not saying that. But when you critiquing somebody's skill set, you know, you don't know what. I mean, this guy played against the two best teams that's in his division. You know what I mean? With Kawhi Leonard.
yep.
and playing against Boston.
Sure.
So you're judging them against the best two teams that's in your division.
Well, sure. Yeah, you're right. But I mean, you went through the whole process was to beat good teams. It wasn't to just beat up on bad teams, get to the fifth or sixth seed, and then bow out.
I understand that point. My thing is, he has a skill set that is being utilized.
I agree.
Okay, the first skill set that you're supposed to have as a point guard is to distribute the ball and make sure everybody gets around, spreading the ball around.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I agree.
And then you have, then he, I mean, once he develop, we want him to develop a shot, because that would create a skill set on our team. And especially, you know what, he's been scoring 12 and 14 points. But if he puts the ball and you get like a 21, 22, you know, some of these games we can probably get, win.
Well, yeah, but, you're right, Dean. But the thing is, thanks for the phone call. Like, the thing is that we're not, calling on Robert Covington to be a better playmaker, right? We're not calling on J.J. Redick to improve his court vision and stuff. Like, the only thing that we're doing, the only player that we're asking to step outside of what they do is Ben Simmons. And I don't understand it. Like, Markelle Fultz isn't even an accurate comparison because you watched him shoot a ton at Washington. Right? So if you're like, oh, Markelle Fultz needs to shoot, yeah, you're right, because he was a shooter at Washington and now he's not. So I get that 100%. The only one that this doesn't make sense with is Ben Simmons. Ken Jenner tweets in, Draymond Green is another name that I didn't mention for how he influences the game without necessarily being, a crazy, ridiculous volume outside shooter. Now, Draymond Green is a good three-point shooter. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that. But he's a guy just like some of the other guys we mentioned who impacted the game in so many other ways that even if he wasn't a good shooter, you'd be like, all right, you can still make that work. With Ben Simmons, that's what I mean. Like, I don't think that me saying that I don't see him developing that part of his game, because I don't agree with the idea of developing a jump shot. His jump shot might be good. He just doesn't take it. So I don't see him integrating that into his game. I don't think that that's a death sentence for his time or his ability to contribute to a championship team. I really don't. I think what would totally take away from his ability to contribute is if you ask him to be somebody that he's not. Turn into Ben Simmons' outside shooter when that's not who he is. Muhammad in Burlington's up next. What's happening, Muhammad?
All right, first of all, I disagree with everything you said today.
Okay.
So just give me a chance to get across my point.
Go ahead.
Before you butt in. We don't want him to be a three-point shooter. We just want him to shoot the ball. It's a 2 points, whatever. That's what we want. And
do you speak for everybody? Because a lot of people have been calling
him. I speak for all the people that want him to shoot.
No, a lot of people want him to be a three-point shooter, man. I'm not making that up.
No, what you have to make a shot, a two-point shot, to make a three-point shot. But before you butt in, let me just finish what I have to say. Moving Simmons out of point guard, that's the only thing that's keeping him covered as far as his flaw of shooting is being the point guard. And you diminish all his skills putting him out of the point guard. He's the best passer in the league, probably. His vision is, I don't think, second to none. He's a great player as it is without the shot. But you can't take him out of the point guard.
Absolutely,
because
Markelle
Fultz can't play better.
Absolutely, you can. That doesn't take away from his ability to rebound. It doesn't take away from
ability.
No, then you're not giving him enough credit. Then he's not as good as everybody says.
So his main ability is to rebound.
His main ability is that he can do everything except shoot.
No, his main ability is the passing and the vision. That's and the way he dictates the play.
Okay, then the triple doubles don't matter. Then the rebounds don't matter.
Don't tell me we shouldn't expect him to make shots. Or trying to shoot the ball. He's not even attempting to make shots.
Right, so he never has. So that's an unrealistic expectation that all of a sudden he's going to turn into an outside shooter. Muhammad, you're not giving him enough credit. If you're saying that he can't be successful unless he's a point guard, then he's not unique or that he's not a special talent. That's a ridiculous thing to say, dude. I'm giving him credit. I'm saying that he can succeed anywhere except a two guard. You're telling me that every other player the point guard's the only position on the entire floor where people can't shoot? Point guard's the only position where you can hide his ability to not shoot? That's ridiculous. Rob in Seattle, you're up next on the Joe Torti Show. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Joe. Still here?
Yep, still here.
All right, sorry, buddy. Hey, listen, I love listening to your show, but I'm going to
respectfully disagree with you
sure.
on this option. Just looking at these youngsters, I mean, they're great talents, Ben Simmons, Markel Fultz, but they remind me of what I miss with the Jordans and the Johnsons. I'm listening to you, it sounds like you're okay with them not asking them to improve themselves. And I don't think anybody's asking for Ben Simmons to be a 3-point shooter, but you, like you said, you want him to impact the game, and he does, but he also impacts the game negatively when he can't shoot a free throw or when he can't take a little 2-foot shot. In a lot of people's opinions, and I'm not saying, I disagree with you. I don't think everybody wants him to be a 3-pointer. I just think they want him to be an option.
Sure, I'm not saying everybody says that, but people want him to shoot threes, right? You don't want his 3-point percent, like his 3-point attempts total to be zero. That was my point.
Well, shoot, just take the summer. You know, you don't need to all of a sudden become this 3-point sniper. Just take a summer, work on something, and that's what I miss. With the Jordans and the Johnsons, and you know, they would take a summer and say, "Okay, I'm gonna work on a baby hook. I'm gonna work on
sure."
A
and Rob, it happened with Embiid. Embiid couldn't shoot threes at Kansas. It takes a couple years off from injury. Now he shoots threes. Ben Simmons had the same time, the same opportunity. It hasn't happened. So I'm not trying to say that he can't do it. I'm trying to say that he won't.
No, well, right, and that's what I'm saying. You may be right, but if we're going to and you said you should be contributing to a championship team, well, to be a champion, you got to find out what it is that your team needs and try to fill that void. I mean, yeah, you have those talents that works, but maybe you need to add something to the repertoire. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, Rob, I think he has. Thanks for the phone call, man. I think that Ben Simmons is a better rebounder than he was a season ago. I think he's at least as good, if not better. I would say that he's better as a defender than he was a year ago. The thing is, I see him making changes. I see him making upgrades. They might not be the upgrades that everybody wants. Now, by the way, Brett Brown did not prioritize a 3-point shot development for Ben Simmons. Free throws, 100% absolutely. Free throws are the area that Ben Simmons should be working on. Everything. Because if you're going to be aggressive to the rim, people are complaining that he's not a strong finisher around there because he's afraid to get fouled because he wants to get to the free throw line. I'm not going to try to, attribute any kind of motivation to Simmons and why he's not as successful finishing around the rim when he's not throwing it down. If he turns into a really good free throw shooter, you'll seek out foul opportunities, like James Harden. James Harden, in some games, takes more free throw attempts than actual field goal attempts. Lives for it. I'm not saying that he needs to turn into an 80% free throw shooter either. There are things that he's going to work on, but I just think the outside shooting, and I don't mean to speak for everybody, but there's a vocal a group of people that have called in and been like, yeah, you can't have a point guard that doesn't shoot from the outside. 610-632-0975. Kevin in Pottstown's next. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm getting frustrated with these fans, man, just like you are. It's outrageous.
Well, what is it that they're saying that's making you the most upset?
Like, the point guard should have to shoot the ball. Like, what?
We're
bashing a 22-year-old kid just because he doesn't shoot, but he's a great rebounder, plays phenomenal defense, and his vision is out of this world.
It's like all of that stuff doesn't count if he's not an outside shooter, or for that matter, if he's not playing the point guard position. Like, all of that stuff just doesn't count.
Yeah, I don't understand it, Philly. What do you want? What do you want from the kid?
Well, and look, that's the thing, Kev. Thanks for the phone call, man. There are a lot of people that are forgetting the fact that he's a young guy, he's early in his development, things like that, and that eventually things could change. I just think that it's a big step to ask. And somebody did bring up Gary Payton. Gary Payton's a good example of a guy who really didn't shoot a whole lot of threes early on and ended up at the peak of his career in 1990 as a 31-year-old. He took the most threes that he's ever taken at 6.3 per game. Okay, that's one example, and it's 100% accurate. But we're acting like it just happens all the time, like these guys come in and not improve as jump shooters, but begin to take more outside shots. That's not something that happens every day. I would argue that if you're saying that the only position that Ben Simmons... Well, I'll take it on Twitter right now. Okay. Pistol POZ says, you absolutely cannot take the ball out of Ben Simmons' hands. He's the best point guard on the roster. He just needs to develop a mid-range and foul shots. I don't care if he ever hits a three. Fultz needs to learn to play off the ball. Ben is our franchise point guard. You're not using him right. I don't agree. I give Ben Simmons way more credit than Markel Fultz. If Markel Fultz is only effective playing a point guard position, fine. I'm not saying that Markelle Fultz is going to be your franchise point guard forever. I'm saying that you've got to find a way to make things work. You have to find a way to put the pieces together. And right now, you're not giving Ben Simmons enough credit if you don't think that he can impact the game if he's not the one bringing the ball up in the half court. Now, notice, I'm not saying anything about his inability to grab a rebound and be the point guard on the fast break, which is another area where he really excels. You're trying to tell me that his vision can't impact the game from the wing? You're trying to tell me that his rebounding ability can't impact the game from the wing? You're not giving Ben Simmons enough credit if you don't think that he can survive a position change. Let's go to Craig in Deptford. Hey, Craig. Uh-oh. Here we go. Sorry, Craig.
I was listening to a lot of the callers. So I just want to make two quick points. It's really not about the three-point shot. Dude is a phenomenal basketball player. But what people are failing to talk about is the help defense that he allows to be stronger because he doesn't take the shot. For example, I was at the Miami game, or two of the Miami games last year in the playoffs. And what happens is he'll get to almost the foul line extended, and he won't take the shot. And whoever that point guard is who is playing him will now drop down to the block to help when the entry pass comes in. That's because he won't take the shot. I don't care if he makes the shot or not. It's kind of like this. Here's the comparison. It's almost like in the NFL. If you don't throw the long ball, then eventually the box gets stuffed. If you have to keep the defense honest, and that's, I think, is what people are trying to say.
Sure.
I don't think it's about the three-point shot. It's the help defender.
Okay.
If he doesn't take the mid-range shot, like Marcus Smart had so many strips and steals because he was able to drop down to the box to help whoever was down there, whether it was Al Horford or whoever was playing.
Sure.
And he was able to get steals because he did not have to aggressively play Ben Simmons at the foul line extended.
Craig, I absolutely agree with you. Now let me say this. In my perfect world, he does become a shooter. What I'm saying, I'm not saying that I wouldn't prefer it. I'm saying I don't see it. I don't see that happening.
And I agree with that. I don't think it's the makeup of his game, but what I'm saying is even if he is not a high percentage shooter, you still have to take the attempt. It's just like throwing the long ball in the NFL. If you don't throw the ball, eventually the defense starts to pack the box. And then you can't throw the ball because you can't run the ball. So it's the same thing with the NBA. If he does not take that mid-range shot, and I also agree with you with him working on his free throw shooting because he does go to the basket a lot stronger than he does play in the perimeter. I don't care about the three-point shot, but what he does need to do is keep the defender honest. And the only way you can do that is to be a threat to say, hey, I may not make this shot, especially in the playoffs when the games are 1 and 2 point games going into the fourth quarter.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I do.
So if he doesn't take that shot and it's a three-point game going into the fourth quarter, that may be the difference between a win and a loss sometimes.
You're absolutely right, Craig. I'm sorry, I'm up against it, man. You're absolutely right about that. And like I said, I think that it'd be an incredibly useful element to add to his game. I just don't see it. Now, I also don't see him making decisions to not shoot the ball. Ben Simmons is approaching basketball the way that he always has. This is how he sees it. So I understand that we'd like to see him on the help defense and things like that. Pull up, just rise up, show a shot. I get it 100%. All I'm saying is I don't see that happening. And there are other areas of his game that are more important, as far as I'm concerned, that he might actually be working on and be developing. I also don't think it's on Ben Simmons to be everything for this team. I think that that's unfair. I think that takes a lot of the pressure off of Brett Brown. It takes the pressure off of Elton Brand. I think it's silly. I think you've got to be able to put together a complete team. The comparison would be like, hey, Rajon Rondo, you need to turn into an outside shooter. The Celtics aren't going to win a championship. I think that's ridiculous. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show, taking you up until Sixers basketball, Sixers Clippers, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Attention, we have a change in programming.
Join Anthony Gargano tomorrow night at 6 as our very special guest host for the Sal Pal Football Hour, live from Poppy's Italian Restaurant in South Philly.
Presented by Gabbiano Dark Knight and lyric by Etude Wine.
It's the Sal Pal Football Hour with guest host Anthony Gargano tomorrow night at 6, live from Poppy's and only on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Are you finding that your country club is stuffy, uninviting, and boring?
Then you need Spring Mill Country Club in Ivyland, PA. Unwind and relax, no jacket required, while enjoying beautiful greens. At Spring Mill, you can enjoy all the amenities of a country club, like an athletic club, aquatic center, and new driving range, while enjoying an affordable club with no assessments, no initiation fees, and reasonable dues. Visit springmillcountryclub.com. Come see why Spring Mill Country Club is beautiful outside, fun inside, and exclusively for Fanatic listeners. Enjoy Spring Mill as the Fanatic's guest. The Fanatic 9 and Dine, Tuesday, November 6th. Enjoy 9 holes of golf, followed by lunch on the Fanatic. Registration starts at 10 and golf starts at 11. Space is extremely limited, so go to 975thefanatic.com to reserve your spot. This is a great opportunity to check out this gorgeous private course and enjoy lunch. The Fanatic will be broadcasting live from 10 to 2 p.m. And after your round, enjoy lunch at Judd's and Jackson's, the restaurant open to the public at Spring Mill Country Club.
The new iPhone XR is here at T-Mobile, and there's a whole lot to love, like those perfect portrait mode selfies you're going to share.
Nice.
And how emojis now turn every FaceTime with the kids into fun time. In fact, the only thing you'll love more than your new iPhone XR is getting it included in the price when you get an unlimited plan. That's right. Only at T-Mobile, get both unlimited and a brand new iPhone XR included for just $40 a month. You can get unlimited somewhere else. Or unlimited and a phone for the same price at T-Mobile. Join today and get four lines for just $40 per line with a new iPhone XR included for each line. That's $30 for the plan and $10 for the iPhone after qualifying trade-in and auto-pay. Call 1-800-T-Mobile or visit a store today.
$40 per line for four lines after 36 monthly bill credits. Essentials customers may notice lower speeds and further reduction if using greater than 50 gigs per month video at 480p for well-qualified customers plus taxes and fees. If you cancel service, remaining balances due. Qualifying service and finance agreements required. Zero down plus $20.84 per month for 36 months. Full price $749.99, 0% APR.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Bundle home and auto with Progressive and save on your car insurance. Excuse me, maybe we should add in the word money so they know that they're saving money. I'm just going to add that in there, okay? Yeah, hello? Just nodding at me. Okay, well, he's got enough buttons to push in there.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Philadelphia! Friday, March 29th, 7:30, Wells Fargo Center. Kiss on their final tour ever. Tickets start at $29.50 plus fees and are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. History will be made.
As a business owner, you know a comprehensive employee benefits program helps attract and retain top talent. But the frustration of escalating costs, increased HR, and legislative compliance limits your ability to remain an employer of choice. Work with a partner who can help you gain a competitive edge.
I'm Ron Flaherty, president of Univest Insurance. It's time to take advantage of our comprehensive benefit analysis and protect what matters to you most so you can get on with business. Contact Univest today.
This Bird's Midweek Report is brought to you by The Rothenberg Law Firm, InjuryLawyer.com.
The Birds come back home after beating Jacksonville in London 24-18 last week. They are now 4-4 on the season, but still find themselves behind Washington for the NFC East lead. The win came with a cost as Adam Schefter reported that Lane Johnson could miss up to a month with a sprained MCL. The Birds will have to watch from home this week to see how the rest of the division and Eastern Conference do as they head into their Week 9 bye.
The Birds Midweek Report was brought to you by The Rothenberg Law Firm, InjuryLawyer.com.
When you're a winner, people expect a lot from you. That's true every time our team steps onto the field. We expect a win. That's also true when our lawyers fight for our clients. Philadelphians expect a lot from my firm, and they get it. I am Alan Rothenberg, the injury lawyer. For over 49 years, I've been fighting for and winning for injured people. My team has won billions for them. Let us win for you. The Rothenberg Law Firm. Call 1-800-624-8888 or go to injurylawyer.com.
Hey, this is former Eagle Jason Avant inviting you to Launch Trampoline Park. We have ninja course, rock wall, laser tag, arcade, birthday parties, and much more. Start living the launch life at Launch Trampoline Park in Deptford. Coming soon, Del Ran and Delaware. Visit us at launchdeptford.com.
Philly's official Sixers station, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, taking you up until Sixers Clippers at the top of the hour. Tom McGinnis will have the call for you. Your phone number to join the conversation, 610-632-0975. A lot of passion, a lot of energy. I've really enjoyed that so far. And let's keep it going with Mark and Delco. Mark, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Awesome.
Sounds like that everybody's just beating a drum at this point about Ben Simmons. So I'm going to flip the script. And I've had so many dumb Sixers fans telling me, why is JoJo shooting threes? Why is he doing this? He's not doing that. Well, they're not thinking the bigger picture. The whole career so far, he will pump fake, go in crazy, and he might get hurt if he's going in there throwing his 7-foot body around. So I'm okay with him shooting 3 threes a game. If he makes none, whatever. But you got to think on the offensive, on the defensive side, he's saving your points with blocks and defense.
You're right. They should also look at the stats for Ben Simmons finishing around the rim when Joel Embiid is inside versus when he's out at the 3-point line. I think that would clear a lot of things up for people.
Yeah, and I just can't express enough how our season is over if Joel Embiid goes down. Now, if Ben Simmons goes down, we're still not a great functioning team, but we showed promise with JoJo in there with pieces around without Ben. Not this year, in the years past when he played, 32 games. So I think JoJo staying healthy is our whole entire season, and I'm fine with him shooting those three-pointers a game. One goes in, that's just kind of cherry on top for us.
Well, Mark, thanks for the phone call. I'm not going to go that far. I think that if you lose either Simmons or Embiid, your chances of making any kind of impact are nil, really. I think that when you look at it, you can survive with him not playing point guard. For example, T.J. McConnell starting in the playoffs at point guard, and you actually won a game with T.J. McConnell as your starting point guard, right? Like, you won a playoff game that way while Ben Simmons was still in. That's the argument that says, all right, Ben Simmons can still impact the game if he's not a point guard. But when you look at it, Ben Simmons' numbers going to the rack when Joel Embiid's near the basket, not what you'd call great. For spacing purposes, you want Joel Embiid away from the basket when Simmons is driving so that he can finish uninterrupted with no help defense. I don't know. It's just the way that the offense is set up. Let's go to Mark and Ardmore next. Mark, what's happening?
Yo, what's going on, Joe?
How you doing?
Good, man. First thing I want to say is, fans really got to be patient. And the reason I say that is because if you look back at some of our greats, like LeBron James, Kobe, and I'm going to even throw Derrick Rose out there just because of the night that he had.
Sure.
But main thing that they all need to work on was what? Their shooting. They could do everything else. So, Ben, he's going to get his shot in due time. Like you said, he's 22 years old. Also, one degree on another thing. I think to maximize our starting five, if we throw Ben at the four, let Markel play the one because he is much better with the ball, either have Shamet or JJ play the two, I think that's going to definitely maximize our starting five because once Ben gets on the board, he's pushing the break. Markel's good in the open floor, and there's no problem having Markel bring the ball up in the half-court set. And I think it might even help Sarge a little bit because he just hasn't really been there this season. And him being a second option coming off the bench, I think that could help out the bench deeply.
Mark, I think you might be right about that. And thanks for the phone call, man. That's kind of the approach that I've seen here. Look, I know that in a perfect world, you've got Ben Simmons playing point guard, passing down low to Joel Embiid or outside to Klay Thompson or Kawhi Leonard or LeBron James or whoever. It's not a perfect world, okay? We need to find a way to make this work. That's what my point is. You need to find a way to get this together. This is the way to do it. You're not giving Ben Simmons enough credit if you don't think that he can be a big-time, all-star type player by playing the four position. If you don't think that he can do that and still impact the game, then you don't have as much faith in him as you should. Markelle Fultz has shown that he's a different player when he's off the ball versus when he's on the ball. You've got to do what's best for the team. Right now, I would say that that's what's best for the team. Gabriel in the Northeast is up next. What's happening, Gabriel?
How you doing, brother?
Okay, thanks.
I'm a first-time caller, man, and I'm just fed up with this foolishness, man. The guy's, he's a baby, man. He's just learning, man. He gonna be a monster, man.
He's already a monster, I think.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but, you know, he's just a baby, man. And you gonna do turnovers. I remember watching the Boston game he was 2'11". I mean, ain't no basketball player in this world, old or present, had they all had bad games.
Of course, that's why the trade talk. It should they trade Ben Simmons? That's totally stupid.
Ridiculous.
100%. I agree.
You know, man. So I'm just get a young boy a chance, man, because he gonna tear up this league, man.
Well, I mean, Gabriel, thanks, man. He already is. He already is. That's what I'm getting at. Like, he's already so effective to be like, do something different than you're already doing. Look, by the way, I don't want there to be any confusion because people are like, oh, you're saying that we can't expect. You can expect whatever you want. I can only give you what I'm looking at. Ben Simmons, I don't see him changing his game so radically to the point where he's like adding. He just doesn't think that way. And if we're lauding his basketball mind and the way that he sees the floor and the way that he processes information and everything like that, cool. That's the way that it works for him. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you an honest question. Do you think that as active as Ben Simmons is on Twitter and Instagram and everything else, do you think that he's never heard anything about like, hey, Ben Simmons should shoot an outside shot? You think he's never heard any of that? Do you think his coaches are not like, hey, maybe we should try to get Ben to shoot outside? That's not his game. I believe in my heart of hearts that he would change it if he could. Let's go to Dylan in Garnet Valley. What's happening, Dylan?
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
So, Ben, I mean, this is not the NBA of the 80s and 90s. He's got to develop an outside shot. I mean, not that he doesn't have the mentality. His outside shot out of, like, 4 feet is horrible, historically horrible. I mean, you have eighth graders who are unfortunately better shooters than him, and I like Ben.
Yeah, but they're not 6'10", can run the floor like him, can rebound like him, like can pat. Like that's the thing, is that we're talking about what he can't do and not looking at all of the things that he can do that other point guards cannot do.
No, he's great, but you cannot, in this NBA, when you have a Klay Thompson going off for 14 threes, be left wide open and not even be a threat to make a three.
How many things can Klay Thompson do that Ben Simmons can't do, and vice versa? How many things can Ben do that Klay Thompson can't do?
Right, but I'm not saying you have to be Klay Thompson in shooting. You've got to be able to just make an open 3-point shot. Am I right or am I wrong in today's NBA?
Well, I don't know. I think Rajon Rondo would still work in today's NBA. Like,
he can still make an occasional open three. You have to be able to make an open shot.
I get it, Dylan, but I understand it completely, and thanks for the phone call, man. That's never been a part of his game, and that's not to say that he can't change. Maybe he will. I don't see it, though. And I don't think it's all that important, to be completely honest with you, because it's like you're underselling all of the other things that he can do. How come Robert Covington isn't better driving and getting to the rim? How come J.J. Redick isn't a better defender? How come Joel Embiid's not playing the point guard and passing with precision? Because players are just different. You can't make everybody fit into the same cookie-cutter mold. 610-632-0975. Joan Piedrichtown's up next. What's happening, Joe?
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
Okay, how are you?
All right. Yeah, I wanted to talk about Ben Simmons with the position change.
Sure.
I think as far as moving him to the four, that would do him a good service if they did that because, you know, with the rebounding and all. And I also don't see why people are saying, you know, they can't put him at that spot. He could still run the show from the four position, no problem. What's the big deal?
Well, I mean, like, LeBron James runs the show a whole lot. You wouldn't call him a point guard. Like, you've seen point forwards succeed in the NBA.
He's a forward that can handle the basketball.
Yep.
Just like when we used to have Iguodala all them years ago. He was
sure.
A small forward that can handle the ball. Ben Simmons is a power forward that can handle the ball. I wanted them to put him at the four spot last year. It just never happened.
Well, and Joe, here's the thing. Thanks for the phone call. I'm trying to get as many calls in before these games as we can. They didn't have to last year, right? This year you've got Markelle Fultz in. You'd struck out in free agency. You didn't get anybody that you wanted to get the big-time names, right? Markelle Fultz is the big free agent acquisition, supposedly. The big offseason acquisition. You've got to find a way to maximize him. You have to. I don't care if you hate Markelle Fultz. I don't care if you think he stinks. You've got to see what you can do to get something out of him. For trade value, to help your team, whatever it is. This is how you do it. What's more important to you? That Ben Simmons, oh, there's another triple-double for our boy Ben. Is that more important? Or is getting past the Celtics more important? Getting past the Bucks, getting past the Raptors. Is all that more important? It's a simple question. Reese and Philly's up next. What's happening, Reese?
Yo, man, I just wanted to talk about how I don't necessarily want him to necessarily shoot the ball, like, proficiently from the three, but at least, like, be daring to shoot it. You know, I feel like if Brett told him something like, yo, if you pop two or three a night, just two or three, literally, like two or three to make him think that you might do it, that'll change the whole dynamic.
There's no way that he hasn't been told that, right?
No. But you don't know. To be honest, we really don't know.
Oh, nobody on social media, none of his coaches, none of his friends have ever said that?
I'm saying that when you make it a need, because if that's a need for you to shoot, because if he told him that, like, you must do it, he would do it. This is what they run, that motion that they run all game, because they know that they must do it. I'm saying that he probably told him several times, like, you know, it would be nice if you could. But him at least attempting a shot, it changes the whole dynamic, even if it doesn't go in.
I agree completely, man. I truly do. Thanks for the phone call. I agree. I just don't see it happening. Like, that has not been a part of his game. I don't know why he would add that to his game now. Like, I get the rationale behind it. I just don't see it. Thanks to Pat Egan for producing. Thanks to everybody who called. We can keep this conversation rolling all night, and we will after the Sixers game. But for now, I'm going to hand it off to Sixers pregame. I'll be right back after this. This has been the Joe Torti Show. Enjoy Sixers Clippers on the Fanatic.